This is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, February 19th. I'm Lisa Young. Ouray City officials are weighing next steps after a trio of bids to build a pair of pedestrian crosswalks and other improvements at either end of the town exceeded the project budget. The town received an $800,000 grant from the Colorado Department of Transportation in 2022 and intends to match it with $200,000 in city funds to complete a number of projects, including a crosswalk on Main Street between the parking lots of the Hot Springs Pool and Perimeter Trail on the north end of town. More on this story is available online at urainews.com. Colorado Parks and Wildlife has released its 2026 Colorado Big Game brochure outlining changes that affect upcoming hunting seasons and the limited license draw process. Hunters must again purchase a qualifying license for the 2026 license year before applying for either the primary or secondary draws, with most qualifying licenses available starting March 1st. The Polis administration was recently sued over factory farm pollution. Eric Galatis has the story.
Colorado has strict requirements to protect water supplies from the impacts of factory farms, but a new lawsuit claims the state is failing at this important task due to a fatal flaw in its permitting process. Food and Water Watch senior attorney Tyler Lobdell says current permits do not have a mechanism like basic monitoring to know when factory farms are not in compliance. Instead, regulators just assume that the entire industry is strictly following the rules. Lobdell says this approach not only flies in the face of what scientists are seeing on the ground, it's also unlawful.
The Clean Water Act doesn't allow for that. It requires that permits be written in a way that are enforceable, because without enforceability, a permit is no more valuable than the paper it's written on.
An opening brief filed in the Colorado Court of Appeals calls for Governor Jared Polis's administration to improve the state's general water pollution permit for concentrated animal feeding operations, also known as factory farms, by adding pollution monitoring provisions required under state and federal laws. The Polis administration has not yet responded to a request for comment. Lobdell says the business model for these operations is far removed from the days when animals were spread out on pastures and their manure naturally became part of the soil. Today, as many animals as possible are confined to maximize profits, often for some of the largest agricultural corporations in the world. Lobdell says tons of untreated feces, frequently more than produced by entire towns, threaten water quality and public health.
And so it's really the way that animals are raised now and the highly industrialized factory farm model that leads to this problem.
Lobdell believes the lawsuit can move the Polis administration to ensure that factory farms, installed by one of the most powerful lobbying interests in the nation, are not polluting Colorado's critical water resources.
The common sense thing here is to protect Coloradans and their water. We know how to do that with factory farm pollution. You should include that in the permit that regulates this industry. It's as simple as that.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Colorado lawmakers are busy at work with bills on gun regulation, housing, and alcohol fees moving through the General Assembly. To find out more, KOTO's Julia Caulfield spoke with Ray Solomon with the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
There's one bill that I wanted to chat with you about today that would kind of create a tax break for some local smaller farmers in Colorado. Can you share what this bill is and what it would do?
Yeah, the agriculture property tax definition bill, it sounds kind of in the weeds from the title, but it's really about just making a little modification in our tax code, the state tax code, that will benefit small and maybe alternative farmers a little bit. So right now there's a tax break in our tax code for agricultural property used for grazing, but it's specifically for land that's used to graze cattle. And this bill would expand that, like I said, it's a pretty minor tweak, expand that tax break to include land that pastures other animals, notably pigs and chickens. And I spoke to, you know, some of the lawmakers who sponsored the bill. I'm like, you know, this seems like a pretty minor tweak. Why even bother doing this? And, you know, they told me it's really about trying to support smaller farmers and support smaller farmers through the sort of like a change in the face of Colorado agriculture, where, you know, small farms are facing a lot of pressures. From everything from tariffs to climate change, and people are starting to need to diversify more and experiment more and try new things. And there's not a ton of farmers right now that this will likely impact. They're not anticipating that it's going to be a big financial impact to like local governments or entities that are collecting property taxes, but it could be a significant break for the small farmers who.
You mentioned that it's maybe not a very big price tag for governments, and it could have big benefit for these smaller farmers. Are you hearing a lot of pushback, or does this feel like something that is pretty uncontroversial and is likely to make it through and make it to Governor Jared Polis's desk?
So far, it seems completely uncontroversial. It passed in committee unanimously, and then it passed in the Senate unanimously so far. So it's already moving into the second chamber, into the House. There's been zero opposition to it. I think supporting small farmers is something that everybody can get behind.
On the flip side, I also wanted to chat with you about a bill that has already died. It's already been unable to make it through. And this would be allowing local governments to create a vacancy tax for dark homes in mountain communities. Can you just share a little bit more about what this bill would have done if it had made it to the finish line?
Yeah, it would have let local governments create a tax on vacant homes. And, this is really targeting the mountain resort towns where, like, so some of these towns have, and I'm sure you're in Telluride, some of these towns have up to 70% vacancy rates most of the year. These are areas with a lot of vacation homes. And at the same time, there's this housing crisis going on where people who work in these communities have to take crazy long commutes to get there because they just can't afford to live anywhere nearby. This bill was supposed to try to help address that situation by allowing local communities to create their own taxes. That would have been something that a local government could craft really customized to whatever the local conditions are, and they would have had to go to voters to get approval for this. So it was not by any stretch creating a vacant home tax. It was just opening the door to that, basically. But new taxes are controversial, and then especially plenty of opposition to this from the community of people who own second homes in those mountain communities. So that surprised me by failing in its first committee hearing. I thought it might make it a little bit further. It did generate some interesting conversation, though. Who are these communities for? And opening up the question about private property rights. Can the government tell you that you need to rent out your property or you'll be faced with taxes? I mean, these are some big questions that I think that bill inadvertently opened the door about.
Do you think, obviously, this bill itself has now failed, but you speak to kind of these conversations that are maybe starting to percolate. Have you heard anything, or do you envision that this is a conversation that maybe will continue through the rest of this session when it comes to legislation, or maybe looking into sessions down the line in years to come?
I think this year the conversation is, decisively over. It didn't even make it out of its first committee hearing, but I know that it's going to continue. I spoke with the lawmaker, one of the main sponsors, Elizabeth Velasco from Glenwood Springs, and she told me she definitely plans to reintroduce this next year. She wants to work on community building. She thinks maybe she didn't focus enough on education and really explaining what this bill would do and how customizable it is for each community to make their own vacancy taxes that make sense for their own communities. So I know that she's going to try it again. So this conversation might be over for now, but it's definitely not over in the long run.
Well, Ray, thank you so much for being able to take a couple minutes and share some more information with listeners in Southwest Colorado.
I'm happy to do so.
That was Ray Solomon with Colorado Capital News Alliance speaking with KOTO's Julia Caulfield. That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KVNF. That's your KVNF regional newscast. For more local and regional news, visit kvnf.org. I'm Lisa Young.